Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Your Mission in God's Army, Discovering and Completing Your Faith-Filled Assignment Before Christ's Return, by Colonel David J. Giamona and Troy Anderson. Narrated by Basil Sands. Preface. Why am I here? What is my purpose? What is the meaning of my life? Does God have a plan for me? Does He have a mission He wants me to fulfill? What is my assignment on earth? Do I have a destiny? These are some of the ultimate questions many of us ask at different times in our lives. As we look around today's increasingly chaotic world, many are seeking answers to life's most perplexing questions amid these challenging times. Today, theologians and faith leaders say the world may be witnessing many of the signs that Jesus Christ said will signify His return to earth. A 2020 Lifeway research poll found that nearly 9 in 10 pastors see at least some current events matching those Jesus said would occur shortly before He returns. A 2022 Pew Research poll found that 39% of American adults, including 63% of evangelical Christians, say they believe, quote, "we are living in the end times," end quote. As we speak at churches and conferences around the nation, one of the questions we are most often asked is, "what is this life all about?" Along with that amazingly complex question is, does God have an assignment for me in this world? My co-author, Troy Anderson, and I are often confronted with these kinds of questions in our travels and media exposure by individuals hungry for more than just the ordinary daily routines of living. With the myriad distractions, life messes, and multiplied stresses most of us encounter, it may be time for you to stop, pull away for a few minutes, and contemplate the reason for your existence on earth. This book, Your Mission in God's Army, Discovering and Completing Your Faith-Filled Assignment Before Christ's Return, does just that. We will explore paths you may never thought of traveling, ways of looking at life decidedly different than before, and tools provided to us through decades of experience in the military and journalism that will offer you insights that may have been kept from your field of vision until now. So please sit back, relax, and embark on a journey with us that will transform your life. Introduction. Outstanding people have one thing in common: an absolute sense of mission. Zig Ziglar, world-renowned author and speaker. The book you are holding, Your Mission in God's Army, will take you on a transformative journey to explore your life's purpose and assignment while answering some of life's most pervasive and difficult questions surrounding your existence on planet Earth. We call them the 4 W's. Why am I here? What is my purpose? Who am I? And where am I going? First, we must explore what the majority consider their purpose, fulfillment in life, and ultimate destiny. The best way to describe it is illustrated by an experience I had in the U.S. Army while talking with a fellow officer. He was relaying to me his plan for his career. First, he said, "I'm going to get promoted to captain. Then, in about 5 or 6 years, promotion to major. After that, in another 6 or more years, I'll make it to lieutenant colonel. And then I'll cap it off with promotion to full colonel and probably retire from service." "That sounds great," I replied. "Then what?" He retorted, "What do you mean?" "Don't get me wrong. I think it's a wonderful plan, provided you actually get promoted to all those ranks. But what will you do after retirement?" "I'll probably be a consultant of some sort." "Great. Then what?" With considerable annoyance, he replied, Then I'll fully retire and enjoy life, probably travel and do all the things I've always wanted to do. That's great. Then what? I could see his blood pressure beginning to rise. Then I'll die. I went for the jugular. Then what? What do you mean, Chaplain? Death is the final destination. No, it's not, I answered. You just think it is. Actually, it's just the beginning of your eternal destiny. That floored him. It is not wrong to have a proposed plan for your life. Proposed because God will sometimes change your best-laid plans. Most people view life through a narrow set of lenses focused only on this life and not our eternal destination. But consider the following Bible passage. This is the promise which He Himself made to us, eternal life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, NASB. If we are to discover our purpose for the here and now, we must also discover the big picture, our ultimate destination. This passage in 1 John unlocks for us our real destiny and purpose, attaining eternal life. Eternal is not just ceaseless existence or unending life. The Bible tells us that eternal life is the abundant life we can live here and now as well as into eternity. According to the original Greek in that 1 John passage, eternal life, aionios, operates simultaneously outside of time, inside of time, and beyond time, i.e., what gives time its everlasting meaning for the believer through faith, yet is also time-independent. Eternal life does not focus on the future, then, but on the quality of the age it relates to. Thus, believers live in eternal life right now, experiencing the quality of God's life as a present possession. This means that you can experience profuse and abundant life right now, no matter your circumstances, position, power, health, finances, status, or anything else. In John chapter 7, verses 37 through 38, Jesus expanded on eternal life. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Here, then, is the foundational principle and purpose for your life. At the very core of your being, you can have the life of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the communion of the Father. If you have committed your life to Christ, rivers of joy, peace, and power should be flowing out of your being. If you are not experiencing the gushing joy, presence, and flow of the Holy Spirit in your life, it is time for repentance, restoration, re-examination, and renewal. We will be exploring these in depth in this book. At the very core of our purpose is the central figure of Jesus Christ. Without Him, there is no purpose or future or even life itself, because He is the center of all things, and all things were created for Him, not us. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rules or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Polls tell us that most Americans are unhappy with their jobs, lives, mates, and financial status. According to one news headline in 2022, job unhappiness is at a staggering all-time high, according to Gallup. "Everyone is looking for love," as the title of a country hit recorded by Johnny Lee says, quote, "in all the wrong places," end quote. Whether in relationships, careers, finances, sports, video games, TV, movies, apps, or any other number of pursuits, satisfaction usually drops off sharply not long after people acquire what they were pursuing. That is why many are frustrated and want to know their true purpose in life. Even those who attend church often ask themselves this question. To help you gain a new sense of purpose and direction in these difficult days, we'll start by investigating how the military assigns those who join its ranks. Then we will explore how Old and New Testament followers of God, the great biblical heroes of old, were chosen, and how they fulfilled their callings. We will learn how followers of Christ hear and understand their present-day callings. We will understand why today's pervasive philosophies of humanism and modernism lead people astray. We will learn how not to be afraid of the Lord's direction and calling. And we will explore how we can lead a fulfilling, exciting, light-filled journey as He leads us in paths of victory. During these tumultuous and quickly changing times, you will learn who the commander of the heavenly armies is, how he operates in unlimited power and wisdom, how his plan is unfolding for you, and how you can join his team. You will learn how the military processes assignments that parallel our biblical assignments, how to grow in your assignment, and how to be a great follower and a great leader. At the end of each chapter, we will include strategic spiritual exercises that will provide practical suggestions to help you find your purpose and assignment in life. Let's get started on a few right now. Strategic spiritual exercises. 1. Take some time now to consider your current purpose and assignment. Compare each to 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. Do they correspond or fall short? 2. As you embark on this journey, identify someone you trust to look with you at your life and connect with him or her. 3. Look through the following scriptures methodically, prayerfully, and meditatively. John chapter 6, verse 68. John chapter 17, verse 3. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 and 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 11. Can you identify with each of these? If not, why not? 4. On a scale of 1 to 10, how satisfied are you right now with your life? 5. Take a moment to pray and ask the Lord to reveal His mission for you as you listen to this book. Part 1. The Mission. Chapter 1. What is your assignment? We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, NLT. Summer 2008. Presidential Tower, 12th floor, Crystal City, Virginia. Early morning. My new boss greets me with, "Welcome to the office of the Chief of Chaplains, Chaplain Giamona. You are now the subject matter expert involving personnel assignments for all our chaplains." I thought about that for a moment and replied, "Thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity to serve here, but I hardly think I am an SME. Having just started this job today." His reply was priceless. "It doesn't matter. You are now the go-to guy for all our 1,700 chaplains worldwide, whether you know the answers or not. It's your job. By the way, I need 9 chaplains assigned immediately to go to war." I was off to the races. Sometime later, I sat down to think about how I got this important assignment. I did not ask for it. In fact, I was hoping for another Army chaplain job that had me closer to the troops instead of administration. Through a series of events, I found myself working for the then chief of chaplains, Douglas Carver, as his assignment officer. It was the exact job I needed at the time. I was able, with the help of God and my chaplain managers, to influence the lives of hundreds of Army chaplains and their families. The Army is always looking for a few good people to bring into the force, whether it is full-time, active duty, or in the reserves, one weekend a month. They have a process to make that determination. Not everyone is qualified or fit to endure the rigors of military lifestyle. The criteria involve mental and physical fitness, attitude, drive to excel, and many other benchmarks. They discriminate. They do not take everybody. That is why only 1% of the American population serves in the military. In the same manner, God is looking for those who will seek Him diligently. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, "The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." Jesus said, "Wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It is time for all of us to seek God and set our priorities to do the assignment He has tasked us with. No other path works for followers of Christ. But if we are to know and understand our mission and assignment here on planet Earth, we must first define the words. The word mission, according to the Cambridge Dictionary, means an important job, especially a military one, that someone is sent somewhere to do. Your mission is to isolate the enemy and destroy all the bridges across the river. Mission is also defined as any work that someone believes it is their duty to do. To be on assignment, according to the Cambridge Dictionary, is doing a particular job or piece of work, usually in a particular place where they have been sent for a period of time. Now let's consider the biblical definition of mission. According to the Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology, mission is the divine activity of sending intermediaries, whether supernatural or human, to speak or do God's will so that His purposes for judgment or redemption are furthered. The biblical concept of mission comprehends the authority of the one who sends, the obedience of the one sent, a task to be accomplished, the power to accomplish the task, and a purpose within the moral framework of God's covenantal working of judgment or redemption. God created you for a purpose. Each one of us has an assignment in this life given to us by God. Not only is He the one who sends us the assignment, as in the definition we just discussed, but He gives us the power to accomplish it. What we must do is be willing to listen to our Commander-in-Chief, obey His instructions, and walk worthy of His calling. The fact is, God has many assignments for our lives, which come at different times and places, under unforeseen circumstances, or through people placed in our lives at just the right time. A Bible verse may speak to you, or maybe something a pastor says. They could come from someone you know or someone you don't know, or from someone as near as your spouse, child, or friend. Because here is the thing. You are not some haphazard mistake who just happened to be born. Evolutionists will tell you that you are an accident in a purposeless universe according to random chance. But the following scriptures indicate clearly that God created you and me for a purpose. I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. I know that you, God, can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. Job chapter 42, verse 2. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4, NASB. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. The life of Jesus is our prime example of how God works in our lives. At the very beginning of his ministry, he read his mission statement to the crowd in the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, out of the scroll of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, ESV. This was Jesus' assignment from the Father, from which he did not deviate. When he read his mission to the people of his town that day, it caused such a stir that they tried to throw him off the cliff. God's assignment to his Son was not an easy one. No one says God's plans are easy. Just ask Moses, David, Joshua, Gideon, Jonah, and the rest. While your assignment may not be easy, it is full of divine purpose, promise, and power. In fact, there is no better way to live life than to live it according to God's plan. All you must do is stay the course. From day one, Jesus stayed the course set by his Father. This little story helps us understand the focus Jesus had from the Father. Someone from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter between you two?" Then he said to them, "Watch out and guard yourself from all types of greed, because one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 15, NET. It is easy to get sidetracked by many important things from our main task as followers of Christ. And here, coming to Jesus, was a man with some important financial issues who wanted his share of the inheritance. He saw that Jesus was a righteous man, one he could trust, so why not ask him to investigate this matter? But Jesus knew his mission from the Father, and that mission was to bring salvation to mankind through his death on the cross and subsequent resurrection. In case you are wondering if this has anything to do with you, it does. You may be saying, "I don't plan on going into missionary work, or becoming a minister, or doing anything related to full-time ministry, so the concept of mission doesn't really relate to me." Fact. Missions and assignments from God are neither sacred nor secular. We will explore this more in chapter 3. The psalmist wrote, "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." Psalm 16, verse 2. In God's view, there are no distinctions between sacred and secular, the eternal and the temporal. He owns it all. It does not matter if you are going down the path to become a doctor, engineer, rocket scientist, real estate salesman, or movie star. All truth is God's truth, and all assignments for followers of Christ come from him. He can and will use the talents he has given you for his purpose, if you let him. Learning from failure. Kevin Sorbo, one of Hollywood's top stars who rose to fame in the 1990s, decided to become an actor at age 11 when he went to see a Shakespeare play at a famous theater in his hometown of Minneapolis. He recounts, "I didn't know what the heck they were saying because I was 11 years old and it was Shakespeare, but I remember being mesmerized by the actors on stage, and I made up my mind, telling my parents, that I would be an actor. I didn't start pursuing it until I got into college, but I started watching a lot of old Hollywood movies with Humphrey Bogart and Spencer Tracy and Jimmy Stewart and those guys. I love that old style. I love how original Hollywood was back then. I wanted to get involved in movies that had more of a positive influence on people. Sorbo got his big break in Hollywood with Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, which began as a series of television movies and later became one of the highest-rated syndicated TV shows in the world. He says, "Universal Studios loved it, made it a series by our third movie, and it became the most-watched show in the world, seen in 176 countries. I had nothing to do with the writing of the storylines, although I wrote one episode, but I got to give the writers input. Even though it was mythological, they put good moral messages in there. They made me a very righteous guy, and they put a lot of humor in it, too, which I thought was important. Hollywood wouldn't make a show like that today. But there are 80 million homes out there that want the kind of movies I do, and a lot of people in Hollywood in power positions who are afraid to speak out. It's like a clique in high school where you'd better be hanging with the right guys and people are afraid to speak out. In pretty much every movie I do, I get one or two people coming up and saying, 'Hey, I love what you're doing. Thanks for being a voice for us.'" Some Christians in Hollywood get blacklisted for being vocal about their faith. But Sorbo says his career has taken off making primarily faith-based films. Films like God's Not Dead, Soul Surfer, and Left Behind, Rise of the Antichrist. He has developed a solid base of fans, he says, and knows many in the entertainment industry. Sorbo says, "I've been shooting 4 or 5 movies a year for the last 11 years after Hollywood gave me the boot, so I've been very fortunate to keep busy. But I want people to have a voice and not let Hollywood and the mainstream media and the cancel culture world put fear in them. Because fear is the greatest weapon of our government. They love fear and they love controlling us with fear. But we have to stop being afraid. The only person we need to fear is God." As the 4th of 5 children, although the family had little money, Sorbo learned from his dad, a public school teacher, the importance of patience, persistence, and perseverance. He remembers, "We had parents who pushed us, parents who believed in hard work, parents who believed in not expecting handouts, parents who supported the decisions we made. All 5 of us kids took a completely different road in life, but each of us had success in whatever we did. So I tell people all the time, failure is a good thing. I learned that very quickly from wealthy people I used to caddy for when I was in college. I worked at a private country club carrying 2 golf bags, 36 holes a day, and I would ask those guys, 'How did you become successful?' They all said the same thing. I failed, and then I failed again. Oh, and by the way, I failed and failed and failed. That motivated me. Look, I'm a 30-year overnight success in Hollywood. I've had plenty of doors slammed in my face, but all that did was motivate me. Failure can be a good thing. It teaches you a lot, because you can take the bits of good stuff out of every failure and get rid of the other stuff and keep growing and make yourself a better and stronger person." Given his experiences in Hollywood and success in the entertainment industry, Sorbo offers this advice for discovering and completing your God-given assignment. "We all have a purpose in life, and I think people put too much pressure on themselves to find out whatever that purpose is. I tell people all the time, 'You had a dream at one time, and now you've lost that dream because you gave up so quickly.' Again, stay the course." Lessons from Jesus. We do not know exactly when Jesus received his mission from his Father, but we do know that at the age of 12, he already had profound knowledge of the Scriptures.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?